नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Before we read the verse, I thought I should just give a short explanation of how we got here to this verse. So it's not next verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And yesterday I was thinking I was going to speak on the next verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. But something happened in between. I was having a conversation with Nisheng Kavacha Prabhu a couple of days ago. And somehow we got on the topic of one of the things that I find myself oftentimes speaking about is about devotee relationships. And he suggested, why don't you speak about it here? And I said, I didn't think there was going to be the right forum for it. And then somehow the topic came up yesterday. I guess it was with Mukunda Maharaj, was it? Somebody, I can't remember who. it was a suggestion that I speak on that topic. But I said, if you want me to speak on that topic, then put the Bhagavatam verse on the board, because if you put the Srimad Bhagavatam verse on the board, I'm going to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam verse. Because that's what I do usually wherever I go. I give a verse and I speak on the verse. So then I got a phone call saying that, well, the verse has been removed. Why don't you pick a verse? So I picked a verse. And that's how we got here. And it is from Upadeshamrita, text number 4. And I guess I have to find it first. Upadeshamrita 4. Okay. Dadati. Patagrinati Guyam Akyati Prichchati Bhunkte Boljayate Chaiva Sad Vidham Prittilakshanam Dadati Patagrinati Guyam akyati prichchati Bhunkte bojayate chaiva Sadvidham piti lakshanam Dadati patagrinati Guyam akyati prichchati Bhunkte bojayate chaiva Sadvidham piti lakshanam Dadati patagrinati Guyam akyati prichchati Bhunkte bojayate chaiva Sadvidham piti lakshanam Didati
gives charity.
Patigrinati
accepts in return.
Guyam,
confidential topics.
Akyati
explains.
Pichchati
inquires.
Bhungte
eats.
Bhojayate
feeds.
Cha,
also.
Eva,
certainly.
Shatvidham,
six kinds.
Priti,
of love.
Lakshanam,
symptoms.
Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts,
revealing one's mind in confidence,
inquiring confidentially,
accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another.
Purport.
I'm just going to read the first paragraph.
It's a long purport.
In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. There are six kinds of activities: giving charity to the devotees, accepting from the devotees whatever they may offer in return, opening one's mind to them, opening one's mind to the devotees, inquiring from them about the confidential service of the Lord, honoring prasad, or spiritual food given by the devotees, and feeding the devotees with prasad. An experienced devotee explains, and an inexperienced devotee learns from him. This is guyam akyati prichchati. When a devotee distributes prasad, remnants of food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain our spirit of devotional service, we must accept this prasad as the Lord's grace received through the pure devotees. We should also invite pure devotees to our home, offer them prasad, and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called Bhunkte Bhojayate Chaiva. Om Jnanati Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshwa Unmini Tamnina Tazmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pungam Bangayate Garim Yatkripata Mahambande Shri Gunundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastitya De Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'm not sure how I'm going to introduce this topic in 20 minutes, but I'll try my best. I just saw the sign. Huh? Oh, 8:30. Okay. Okay. 35 minutes. As I said, that in the course of my travels, I oftentimes find myself speaking on this topic, not so much because I see something and feel I have to speak on it, but devotees inquire about it a lot. So, because devotees inquire about it, I feel obliged to reciprocate and provide them at least some of my simple realizations about Vaishnava relationships.
And it is my observation that devotees oftentimes struggle to understand how to apply the high ideals that our Vaishnava acharyas have given for Sangha, both with equal devotees, with more advanced devotees, less advanced devotees, because it almost seems sometimes out of our reach, idealistic, not practical. We can find many different reasons and excuses if we really are determined to do so, for not cultivating Vaishnava relationships. And I use the word cultivating because Srila Prabhupada also uses that word in Upadeshamrita. He says bhakti is a sort of cultivation, which means cultivation means it puts the onus on us to actually cultivate the ideals of bhakti, not only in relationship with the Supreme Lord, but also in relationship with the Lord's devotees. And I oftentimes find myself, when devotees say that it's hard for me to find somebody I can really confide in, it's hard for me to see, you know, all the good qualities and many different things that I oftentimes hear in response to the ideal. I always emphasize the point that if you want loving relationships, then you have to cultivate it. How to cultivate a loving relationship. Relationships is one thing, but loving relationships. Just like it makes me think of just recently, very recently, I was watching a movie that was produced by some devotees in Vrindavan. Maybe some of you have seen it advertised, called Reconnection. Anyways, I was given a copy of it to review, and I was told I can and do a public showing once. So I already did the one public showing. But as I was watching it, the essence of the movie, maybe I can even present it in a way that may make it appealing so that you may also want to contribute to the cause of making it available worldwide. Because there's a certain method for making it available worldwide, and that is they need donations. But anyways, the essence of the story of Reconnection was about relationships. How a person who was met Govinda Maharaj previously at a place, I think it was somewhere in the mountains of Tibet or something like that. And Govinda Maharaj encouraged him to go to Vrindavan, and he was having real difficult times in his personal relationships, particularly with his fiance. So he just turned off the world and decided to go to Vrindavan. And he was under a lot of pressure to return, and nonetheless, he stuck it out and try to understand what is the essence of Vrindavan through some of the instructions he received from Govinda Maharaj. And the essence was to try to understand how loving relationships means selfless. And when this person first arrived in Vrindavan, he had a real rough time with Vrindavan, with some of the experiences he had. Didn't quite expect to see Vrindavan in that particular way. He was beginning to leave, and then he tried to leave, to return to England. It's a true story, by the way. And he couldn't get a ticket. Next flight out was a few days, so contacted Govinda Maharaj, and Govinda Maharaj said, why don't you go to Yavat? And don't stay in Vrindavan, go to Yavat and try to capture the essence of the mood of the of the devotees in Yavat and experienced Vrindavan in this way. He went to Yavat and describes how everybody in Yavat, they're all chanting Radhe, 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 everywhere he goes, Radhe, Radhe. And then he's met by one family, Brijbasi family. They receive him as completely open arms, as a welcome guest, which is what they oftentimes do. They invite you in, give you some prasadam, some roti, sabji, feed you. And then you try to give them some money to thank them. And he says, oh, no, no, no. Wait, what did he say? He said, that's for your pocket, not my pocket. Something like that. This is India. This is Braj, or something like that. The mood, and he was shocked like that, how these people completely opened up their home, gave him prasadam, the tastiest prasadam he had, because previous attempts to take prasadam was frustrated by a big green pepper that he didn't know what it was. And and then it was his first introduction to the mood of Vrindavan, which was selfless service. And then there is a narration of Govinda Maharaj, which gives the essence of selfless service in the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, between Krishna and Radharani. And then reconnection means, obviously by these experiences, his life changes. There's a transformation in his life about the nature of loving relationships, which are that it's done in a mood of selflessness. And then the kind of reciprocation that one gets by selfless service is far transcends any other type of reciprocal relationship that one has ever experienced in the material world. And of course, for many people, it's a very unique experience how to serve selflessly, because we're conditioned to serve conditionally. And therefore, the essence of loving relationships begins with selfless service, which is in itself is a big obstacle to overcome because we're so conditioned. And in fact, I think maybe the last time I was here, it's natural in selfless service and in relationships, it's natural that even the Lord himself displays such ideal relationships, such as the example which was given in that short movie about Krishna's relationship with Radharani. But more perceivably, directly, I think, his example that I oftentimes give is in the relationship between the selfless servant and the Lord, and how the Lord reciprocates with his selfless servant. And we give the example of Maharaj Ambarish, and how Maharaj Ambarish was known for his selfless service. He gave his mind in the service of the Lord by always thinking of the Lord, his words by always speaking about the Lord, his ears by hearing topics of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord, his feet in walking to the temple of the Lord. In this way, he was totally absorbed in selfless service to the Lord. Selfless meaning that he was doing with the intent to please the Lord. And if the Lord was pleased, that was his satisfaction. And as we know, if I go tell the whole story, I'll come to the end of the class even with the story of Maharaj Ambarish. So we're going to give a little summary just to capture the essence of the point that I want to make. And as that is that Maharaj Ambarish was so dear to his service of the Lord, in his service to the Lord, that when Durvasa Muni offended Maharaj Ambarish by attempting to curse him, because Maharaj Ambarish apparently failed to receive him properly. When Durvasa Muni appeared before him as a guest, along with his followers, he wanted to take bath first. He went down to the river to take bath. And it was right at the time where Maharaj Ambarish had to break his fast, because he has been performing a vrata for a whole year. And at that particular time, if he didn't break the fast, then his vrata would have been rendered null and void. So he asked the Brahmins what to do. And the Brahmins told him that if you take a little water, it's considered both fasting and not fasting. So he took a little water. And then when Durvasa Muni returned from the river, he became infuriated because he was mystic and he could understand that Maharaj Ambarish had eaten something before him and he was a guest and he thought it was the wrong thing to do. Why did you eat before your guest? This is not a proper host. And he began criticizing, what kind of king do you think you are? Why are you so proud, arrogant? And then he invoked a demon to punish Maharaj Ambarish. And of course, and as we know, the Lord invoked his Sudarshan Chakra to protect Maharaj Ambarish. And then who immediately destroyed the demon and then began chasing Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni went to Lord Brahma for protection. Lord Brahma explained how he was helpless. I'm sorry, I cannot give protection to you. Went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva explained the same reason. I didn't invoke this chakra. Why are you coming to me? And then Durvasa Muni went to Lord Vishnu, who invoked the chakra, and said, you're my last stop, my last hope. Please protect me. And then, of course, Lord Vishnu says, I'm sorry, I'm not independent from my devotee. I'm completely under the control of my devotee. I can't do anything to help you either. And at this point, it was Durvasa Muni was shocked. You know, like, why can you, I mean, certainly if you must feel compassion, if I come to you, the Lord, and who else do I have to go to? And at this particular point, there is a dialogue between Durvasa Muni and the Supreme Lord, which is expanded upon by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries. He expands the dialogue in a way to help us to understand the essence of this response that Lord is given to Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni actually says to the Lord, certainly you must feel pain and suffering when you see others suffering. And certainly when you hear me speaking in this way, that this chakra that you invoked, it's causing me so much suffering, you must be able to feel some empathy. And where's your heart? And can't you think of my suffering? And the Lord responds by saying, actually, and there's a well-known verse that's quoted in this connection where the Lord says to Durvasa Muni, the devotee is in my heart, and I am always in the heart of my devotee. The devotee doesn't think of anyone but me, and I don't think of anyone but him. That was actually the Lord's response to Durvasa. So the essence of his explanation was saying, well, you're asking me to think of you, think of your suffering, but I don't have a mind to think your suffering because I always think about my devotees. And you offended my devotee. And then you asked me for my heart, but I should explain also something important to you. Is that my devotee is somebody who takes me in the core of his heart and is always thinking how to please me. And because he's always taking me in the core of his heart and thinking how to please me, naturally, I want to reciprocate. So I ask my devotee, what can I do for you? But I always get the same answer. The devotee always just asks to serve me. I don't want anything. And the Lord explains his dilemma. I have this dilemma that I naturally want to reciprocate with my devotee who always serves me, but how do I do it? He's not interested in wealth. If I give him wealth, he'll say, no, just give me service. He's not interested in fame, strength. He's not interested in power. Anything I can offer to him, anything I pull out of the storehouse, doesn't seem to be of any interest to him, and I want to please him. So what do I do? So then he explains what he does. He says, I have to reach into my storehouse of secret treasures and I pull out that which will please my devotee. So you asked me to have a heart, and I'm going to tell you, I don't have it. My devotee has it. I gave it to him. So if you want my heart, you have to go to the devotee who has my heart, because I don't have a heart. It's not here. Maharaj Ambarish has it. And you want me to think of you, but how can I think of you? Because I'm only thinking of him, and you offended him. So the Lord very clearly explains how he reciprocates with devotees. He gives his devotees something of real tangible value that the devotee can't refuse. He gives his heart. This is the nature of loving relationships. If you want to get in return love, you have to give love. And if we don't know how to give love, we have to serve those who can unlock the mystery of what are the essence of loving relationships. And actually, that's sort of like coming back to the movie I just saw, was how to unlock the mystery of loving relationships. Is that it was very nicely portrayed. The example was giving that one has to learn the art of how to offer something with love. So Rupa Goswami is explaining how to have loving relationship with devotees. And here's the catch. If we go into the relationship expecting something in return, we keep on wondering, where is this? Where is this? I hear a lot about loving relationships, but I'm not experiencing it. Where is it? Where is this love? Where is this? I read about it, I hear about it, people talk about it, but it's a mystery to me. I haven't seen it. And then here, Rupa Goswami is saying the dati patagrinati guyamagyati prishati, which is that there are six kinds of exchanges of love. And sometimes when we think that, okay, there's six kinds of exchanges of love, and that is that, okay, you give something in charity, and then you get something in return. That's an exchange. But then, yes, we get something in return, but Prabhupada very nicely explains the devotees are willing to accept whatever they get in return. That's what he says right in the commentary. We always think, well, I have to get something that's commensurate, something equal, like I give you something, then... But that's not exactly a loving relationship. That's not how to initiate a loving relationship. And as we said before, that loving relationships are relationships that some have to begin with cultivation. So really, the cultivation begins in our own hearts, is that how to cultivate a loving relationship. And then here, of course, is where we experience a dilemma. Because sometimes we experience, and devotees will confess, well, if I give myself really selflessly, I find myself being exploited. So here again, we come into another ideal. How do I give myself selflessly if I'm always afraid that if I give myself selflessly, I'm going to suffer at the end? Actually, there's a very nice point in this connection. Like, this is the first time I've ever done this, believe me or not. I'm trying to bring it in a short period of time and speaking only in straight English, what to speak of. So forgive me if it's incoherent. This is a verse that I oftentimes speak about, because it's very important to understand. If we're going to have loving relationships between friends, we also have to understand that loving relationships between friends also includes other types of relationships too, which are essential. And there's a verse in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if I can quickly get to it, if I can get out of this program, here we go. How to quickly get to it. Let's try this. I quickly got to it. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 8th chapter, 34th verse. It's just Narada Muni speaking. It's Narada Muni speaking to Dhruva Maharaj. Gunadi kan mudham lipsed anukrosham gunad hamat maitrim samanad anvichjen natapara abhipuyate. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Purport. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. When we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. These are the causes of all material tribulations. Great sage Narada therefore advised the devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate toward him just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. I also want to read just a very, it's very short. It's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse. He says, and you can see how Prabhupada incorporated it, but he makes one point here, very, very important. One should feel joyful in meeting a superior person and not envy himself, not envy him. One should feel compassion, not contempt on meeting an inferior. One should feel friendship to an equal and not be competitive. If because of one's faults, one does not attain superior persons, then one should desire to attain them. A very important point. And because sometimes people say, where are the superior persons? You know, it's like the story I oftentimes tell, you know, of, who is it, Duryodhana and Yudhishthira Maharaj. When Duryodhana was told to go throughout the kingdom and look for somebody who was better than him, Duryodhana went throughout the whole kingdom and said, I can't find anyone who's better than I am. And Yudhishthira was sent throughout the kingdom to look for somebody who was inferior to him. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, being such an exalted, humble Vaishnava, said, I went throughout the kingdom. I can't find anyone lower than myself. So, two stark difference qualities or characteristics manifest in these two persons. Duryodhana, who was noted to be offense personified by Vidura, and Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was, you know, the most saintly king and intimate associate of the Lord. So the mentality of the Duryodhana was that he couldn't see that anybody was superior. Well, how to see? How one has to look for those qualities in others that one would like to have himself. And therefore it takes a little introspection. As we said before, bhakti is a sort of cultivation that in our attempt to cultivate, we should know what qualities that are there within ourselves that we need to work on. If we don't, actually, it's actually defined as an anartha. And it's a cause for falling down if we don't know what the qualities are. And then if we look within ourselves and we actually are fortunate enough to see certain qualities within ourselves that we need to work on, and if we see somebody else who apparently have the great fortune, if we just see somebody else who has those qualities, then the best thing to do is cultivate a relationship and begin to cultivate a relationship by serving them. And of course, the essence of servants, as we said, is to serve selflessly. And then if you serve selflessly, you might just get a surprise from the more advanced devotee who manifests such wonderful qualities. You might actually get something in return, not exactly what you thought you wanted, but what you really needed. And then when you feel yourself actually grateful for what you got in return, which sometimes may not come in the form or may not come in the package you expected to get it in. We always, if we have expectations of what to get, we expect what the return should be. And we think, The return should be, if I give you this, then you should give me something back, what I expect. But actually, it's not like that. If you actually give with love, you don't expect anything. And the loving relationship actually becomes complete even before you get something in return. Because when something is offered with love, what actually completes the loving relationship is that a person accepts because it's offered with love. Not because the person accepts because, oh, yeah, great, I need this. And you know, actually a person, a devotee is somebody who knows I need to be dependent on Krishna. And Krishna is giving me everything I need. And if a devotee offers me something with love, although I really don't need it, because it's offered with love, I have to accept it. And that actually makes the exchange a loving exchange. That the devotee even thinks that, even though I don't need it, but because it's offered with love, I accept it. And then the devotee who's offered it with love, then he actually realizes that the fulfillment of my desire is there. I offered this without expecting anything in return. And this devotee accepted it, my offering. And then, of course, although the devotee didn't expect it, neither did he feel the obligation, in a sense, to reciprocate in a material way, but nonetheless, he reciprocates in a spiritual way. And that is, what devotee inquires confidentially, he reveals his mind in confidence, and then he may learn from that devotee something very, very helpful or confidential that will help him to overcome his obstacles in devotional service. Those obstacles that himself had the great fortune to recognize that were there in his heart. And these are loving exchanges. Prabhupada says, the inexperienced devotee inquires, the experienced devotee speaks, he reveals to him. This is a loving exchange. So, of course, confidential relationships, this is another whole topic. This topic in itself, I could speak for days on. Because to have confidential relationships means there has to be confidence. And one of the difficulties in our current environment, it's very difficult to have confidential relationships, because as soon as you say something about yourself confidentially, you're always afraid where it's going to come out. Right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a really a lot of instructions about confidential relationships, when to speak about others, when not to speak about others, what to speak about others. It's a whole seminar in of itself, because sometimes we fear that if I speak confidentially, then maybe it'll be on Facebook tomorrow, for instance. Right? Or even worse, once it's on Facebook, somebody else will get a hold of it and they'll start a whole website just to promote my confidential confidential revelation that I gave to somebody in confidence. And that, and therefore we really need to know, in order to have confidential relationships, we really need to know what kind of environment breeds confidential relationships. These are Vaishnava relationships. It's a mystery for those who don't understand what is the basis of Vaishnava relationships. Because in the material world, everybody talks about other people. It's practically speaking, it's the only thing to talk about. Why? Because it's natural to talk about other people. But the difference is, in the spiritual world, in Vaishnavas, the other people the devotees always talk about is Krishna and his devotees, glorifying Krishna and Krishna's loving relationships with his devotees. So they're talking about other people too. But how is it perverted? It's perverted in the material world because we have no attraction to speak about Krishna. And when, as soon as we get together, we find there's something to talk about other people. And before you know it, you dig yourself a big hole and you make what goes around comes around. So this in itself is also a very important instruction, and there's no way I can speak about it in 5 minutes. So I just sort of like, I mean, I could go a lot deeper, but maybe I should leave 5 minutes for questions. And oh, we can continue tomorrow, although I know I've been told that a lot of you won't be here, but I am supposed to give class tomorrow morning. And I can, for those who will be here, I can go in more depth into some of the points I've already talked about. Anybody have any questions or comments, corrections? Mukunda Maharaj?
What was that verse in the fourth canto?
Fourth canto, 4834. It's interesting also, it was Narada Muni preaching to Dhruva Maharaj to give up his attempt to go to the forest. He was explaining, why don't you just become peaceful this way? But Dhruva Maharaj, actually, right after this verse, Dhruva Maharaj says, he was testing, Narada Muni was testing. He says, it's nice, but what you've told me just doesn't touch my heart. He had something else in his heart at the time. He wasn't ready for these types of high topics. But of course, Dhruva, as we know, is somebody who got great mercy from Narada Muni and from the Lord himself. But it's 4834. Yes? There is Sri Bhakti Loka, and different chapters. One of the Bhakti Loka is essays on the six characteristics which are favorable for bhakti and the six which are unfavorable. There are 12 essays, and on the essay of Atyahara Prayasa Pajalpa Niyamagraha on Pajalpa. Lot of detail on Pajalpa, right there. He also speaks about it in Darya. And Darya means patience, how a devotee should be patient. And he gives a very, very nice, in fact, it's very short, just to give you a little glimpse, Darya. I may not find it. Basically, he says, if a person is not patient and he can't control himself, he'll speak about others, and then by speaking about others, he creates enmity. Yeah. And then he gives an example of how patience is required. And then in Pajalpa, he gives a lot of detail of what should be said when one is speaking about others and what should not be said. And the consequences that are there for those who speak about others and don't put a buffer between their mind and their tongue. They're all there. Huh? Actually, if anybody's really honest, we all need to read it. If they're really honest. Spiritual advancement begins with being honest with oneself. Sometimes we make a mistake in thinking, yeah, I'll be honest with you. You. That's what it means to be honest. I'll be honest with you. You drive me crazy. That means honest to ourselves. I got 1 minute. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you very much for the class. Some years ago, one self-help book was explaining the emotional bank account. Are you familiar with that concept that we have an emotional bank account?
Devotional bank account?
Emotional
bank account.
And from exchanges with people, they're either depositing or withdrawing our emotional bank account, and then it explains that if you had like an abusive relationship, then that's just withdrawal, 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 and then you don't have anything left to give. So based on that, I was wondering if you could give some advice to when we feel like the balance is minus something, how we're able to continue to give.
That was indirectly, actually almost directly answered in that quotation I gave from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that if one is feeling depleted, exhausted from what may be perceived as an abusive relationship, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one has to sincerely pray, right? Because a sadhaka is somebody who actually is somebody who's cultivating a relationship with Krishna. Internally, he has his own sadhana, he has his own bhajan, he has his own meditation and prayers and verses that inspire him. And he should actually sincerely pray, because the Lord, who's always reciprocating within the heart with a sincere devotee, will actually compensate. Right? As Krishna says, for those who meditate on me and always try to serve me, from what I preserve, whatever they have, and I carry what they lack, he can very nicely compensate what which might be lacking. And not only that, because he understands the sincerity of purpose of the devotee, you'll find that he can actually make an arrangement to bring you in the presence of somebody who can give you just what you need to fill that vacuum and keep you going longer than you ever expected. That's reciprocation. But we need it. And if we don't have it, then at least we have to start within our own hearts and say, well, if I can't get it around me, but Krishna knows what I want.
If you're not getting something from a particular relationship, then you can find it in another one.
You find it in another one to learn how to deal with that relationship and to bring out the best in that relationship. Because sometimes patience, and that's what Bhakti Vinod Thakur emphasized, patience means you have to be very patient and not expect anything in return in what you're investing in that relationship. It almost seems like, wait a minute, that's one of those ideals, you know, that's way beyond our reach. But there's a way to get what you need from that internally. And there's a way that you get it also from other Vaishnavas who may also speak. Krishna, they speak, your spiritual master. I remember once I was sitting with Gaura Govinda Maharaj. I was having this wonderful discussion with him. And as he was speaking to me, he was telling me, he was quoting a verse. I was never able to find the verse. How the spiritual master, even after he departs, can speak through the mouth of a Vaishnava. And as he was speaking to me, I actually experienced Prabhupada speaking to me. And I never forgot that Prabhupada was talking to me. But he wasn't saying, Prabhupada sent me to speak to you. He was actually just saying the principle that the guru can speak through the mouth of another Vaishnava. And as he was speaking, and he was saying some very nice instructions, somehow, that long, long, long cherished desire I had to sit at Prabhupada's lotus feet and have him say something to me, which I never had, was fulfilled. So, it can happen. I think I've overdone my time limit. Thank you for your patience and for your attention. We'll end here. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.